This is KUT
Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. Teachers had taught me when cool. Holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. To admit it's getting better, a little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's great to see you once again.
Well, it is always wonderful to see you.
Isn't it sad that our listeners don't get to see either one of us? In my case, that's a relief, but in your case, that's really sad.
Well, you know, if you go to the podcast section of KUT.org, you can click through links and there are pictures of us.
Not of us, of you, not of me.
No, there's one of you, too.
Really? I'm famous?
Well, it's a picture from the Southwestern University website. Oh. I think it's your, like, official presidential portrait photo. It's a good picture.
With the halo overhead?
I'm not sure. That's not the version that I saw.
They photoshopped that out?
apparently somebody did. So,
sorry.
Well, I want to, Ed, in our episode today, I want to hearken back to something you said very much in passing several episodes ago, but it has really stuck in my head. And it's just an interesting story I want to hear. We were talking about something else and you said, oh, well, yeah, and there was a time I ran into Dick Van Dyke on a Caribbean island. And I'm like, excuse me? What? Okay, that's so random. But then I started thinking, you know, you brought that up, and I think it was a random encounter that had, like, it had some impact for you. And I started thinking, you know, education in some ways is so planned. Like, there are courses, and there are schedules, and there are grades, and, you know, college, and everything is just sort of very prescribed. But there are these random things that happen that can really have meaning for us. And I want to hear this random story of your meeting with Dick Van Dyke.
Which was great, but I'm not saying it holds enormous meaning, but it was meaningful for me just because I'm such a big fan of comedy.
And that makes it meaningful.
That's true, and of Dick Van Dyke. We were in the islands of the Caribbean, and my family and I were sailing around there, and we sailed into Virgin Gorda, which is one of the British islands out there, and we were having dinner in a restaurant. It was a very crowded restaurant. I think I was in maybe first year in graduate school. So I wasn't a kid, but I was still a baby. And we were sitting there. So my parents and I were there. And all of a sudden, we realized that, you know, across the room, it's a very packed restaurant, but, you know, very elegant, nice. There's Dick Van Dyke and his wife. Oh my God, you know, the Dick Van Dyke Show, it's such a big deal.
He's big,
yeah, huge. And I'm a big student of comedy, so this is a really big deal. And I thought, and so now the whole dinner is about planning how do I go up? Because I used to collect autographs as a kid, and so I was a little bit older. I shouldn't be doing this, but still, I want Dick Van Dyke, right? And so we decided that we would wait till he was done eating and right about to leave so as not to disturb him.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, we're stalking the poor guy, you know, and so finally the check comes. And so I get up enough gumption to get up and have a piece of paper and a pen, and I very quietly walk up to him, and I just kind of go down and say, Mr. Van Dyke, I'm a really, really big fan. Would I be able to have your autograph? And he was so pleased by this. I think, you know, and I'm not speaking for him, but I mean, he was really not recognized in that room for a variety of reasons. It was dark, first of all. So I think he was just happy that it was done quietly and respectfully, and also that, you know, I appreciated him. It's a question of where the comma is. He wrote, God bless Dick Van Dyke. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, was there a comma? Right. So was it like kind of God bless, like, me? Or was he just saying, like, giving a command to God? God bless Dick Van Dyke. The man's still alive. He's like 99. So maybe, who knows? And I was so thrilled. And I walked back and I was really excited. And then the couple sitting to our left who overheard this whole thing, who were from England, the fellow said, well, you should get her autograph, pointing to his wife, because she's famous. And I'm looking over, and I didn't know who this person was. And so I said, so I took another piece of paper. Could you please sign this? And she was being very bashful. She signed it Lady Somebody, and I forgot the name. I still have it. But someone, obviously, in the British family, in the royal family, not one of the top three. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't the queen. But it was so funny. And anyway, the next morning, we're walking around on the beach, and I'm walking along this path with my mother, and all of a sudden, there comes Dick Van Dyke. And now we're like old friends. He goes, oh, hi, how are you? And so Dick Van Dyke and I, and that was the last that he he talked to me.
Well, that you know, I mean.
Well, no, no, I'm sure
he may have spoken about you.
Oh, I'm sure he talks about me all the time.
Uh-huh, sure, yeah.
Anyway, it was very fun. What a silly story, I'm sorry. But, you know, if you're thinking about impactful things, when you first said about, you know, having an impact, I will share a meeting of an interesting person that I that had a real impact that was intellectual, more intellectual. I mean, Dick Van Dyke's very intellectual, but. I had a chance to have dinner with Bob McNamara, who, as you know, was the Secretary of Defense for the Kennedy administration and then part of the Johnson administration. I found that so intriguing.
What was intriguing about that?
Well, he had just, this was toward the end of his life, and he just wrote his last book, which was in some sense kind of like an apology or a discourse, a reflection on Vietnam. And one of the things that he shared with me and the table, I mean, I wasn't 101, was that the difference between empathy and sympathy.
Oh, what did he say the difference was?
Well, I mean, he said that, you know, you don't have to sympathize with people who don't agree with you, and you don't even have to sympathize with your enemy, but you should be able to always empathize. Even if you disagree or even if the person's an enemy, you should be able to empathize, you know, from the vantage point of, you know, the Vietnamese. What does it look like to have a foreign country come onto your soil and engage in what seems like an internal, you know, political struggle? And I found that interesting. And then he added that there was no one high up in the administration of either the Kennedy administration or the Johnson administration who could even speak Vietnamese. There wasn't a high up official that could even communicate in their own language. And to have empathy is to be able to genuinely communicate and understand. And that was one thing that he learned from that experience, which I find so thought-provoking when you think about the diversity of ideas and people coming from different backgrounds and experiences.
I can't think of two more people who might be as different, at least seemingly from the outside, as Dick Van Dyke and Bob McNamara.
Yes.
But what's interesting to me is that, first of all, both of those encounters have stayed with you for a long time. You took meaning from both of those encounters in very different ways. And also, they were not, I mean, obviously the dinner with Bob McNamara, there was some plan to that, but
right.
They were both sort of unexpected. I mean, you might not have known what to expect. You might not have known what was going to happen. I think, you know, we need to be kind of open and ready for those opportunities in life.
I always talk about how your formal education will eventually end, but your education persists, and you have to now find those opportunities for that education on your own.
I think random meetings and chance encounters like that are a perfect example of that. I would say another example of always continuing our education would be our puzzler. I think you do a good job
I think I've got a good one for you. This one actually is not my own. I mean, it's kind of a famous puzzler, but someone just brought it to my mind. I think it's interesting, so I'm going to throw it out there. And the question is, you know what a digit is. So there's 10 digits. Mm-hmm. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. And the digits come together to form the counting numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a look at all the counting numbers from 1 to 1,000,
okay.
So starting with 1 and ending to 1,000, the question is, if you look at all those numbers, what digit is the least frequent?
Least frequent.
Is the least frequent.
Oh, I love it.
Amongst all the numbers from 1 to 1,000. And a bonus question, this is, I think, a little bit harder and a little bit sneakier, is to ask, which is the most frequent digit?
Most frequent.
But that's not the puzzler. That's just bonus for those for our listeners who really want uber extra credit. I'm just curious about the least frequent. And can you give a little heuristic, a little kind of reason why? Of course, you can certainly count all the digits and see.
Right.
That would be kind of cheating. Can you think through why that digit might be the least?
That's interesting.
Thank
I
you.
Love that
Thank
one.
You very much.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Least frequent plus
Thank
the
you.
Bonus most frequent.
That was just harder.
So just as we wrap up here, our discussion, Ed, we're actually talking about sort of chance encounters and chance meetings and the value sort of for our lifelong learning that we can extract from that. Let me ask you as we wrap up, let's say you're back on the Caribbean island and you're walking down the beach. If you could run into anybody that you wanted to, that you would love to talk with, learn something from.
Oh boy.
Is there a person or two that you would love to have a chance encounter with just because you want to sort of pick their brain or learn something?
In this fantasy, is the person living or dead? I mean, could it be someone from the past?
Let's say anything.
So you have to kind of throw away all the obvious people. I would say, I think Franklin Roosevelt would be someone I would really enjoy meeting. And now if you want to go kind of both ends of the spectrum,
sure.
I'd say I was a huge, huge fan of Johnny Carson.
Uh-huh.
And I got to meet him briefly once, but I had no real encounter with him, although I do have an autographed photograph in my office. I would love to have engaged with him a little bit. Jack Benny. Actually, I put Jack Benny above Johnny Carson. I'd like to meet Jack Benny first, then Johnny Carson. So Franklin Roosevelt, Jack Benny, and Johnny Carson are three random names that come to mind.
That's a great eclectic group. Probably
there's problems with that list, but those are people that would be interesting to talk to.
Well, Ed, thank you for our not random and chance encounters and for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu, and you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.